Stanley Whitney Six Paintings features the acclaimed artist's renowned geometric-based works. They're on display now through June 3rd at the Charles Benenson Visitor Center and Gallery at the Field Sculpture Park at Omaha International Art Center in Ghent. Whitney was awarded a Guggenheim Fellowship in 1996, and this year was the first recipient of the planned yearly Robert De Niro Senior Prize for Achievement in Painting, established by the actor Robert De Niro to honor his father. De Niro Sr. was part of the New York School of Postwar American Artists. Whitney has taught for many years at Temple University's Tyler School of Art in Philadelphia and at its Rome campus and is professor emeritus there. Stanley Whitney, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for asking.
It's a delight. This is a beautiful exhibit. How did it ultimately come to be of featuring these works?
Well, it came to be through Bill Maines, who runs OMI, who used to be a dealer of mine in New York City, I believe in the 90s. And so Bill has done, I don't know how many shows he's done up there of painters, but so Bill contacted me last year and asked me if I would do this exhibition.
What is it like to put six of your works together?
It's interesting because the works kind of play off one another.
Yeah.
So sometimes sometimes it's nice just to have one up and see one, but if you have six or two or three, then you begin to it becomes almost a visual game almost of trying to figure out how they're different or why they're different, because the paintings are so much the same, but yet they feel totally different. So I think it becomes a physical game that way, a mental game that way, where the paintings, in a sense, are made exactly the same, but it's all totally different.
Is there a game-like quality in the creation of them for you as the artist?
I wouldn't use the word game-like quality for me as an artist. I think there's a play. I mean, it's a kind of a play. It's really about color and rhythm and light. So it's sort of something really to look at and wander. It's like mentally going for a walk. It's like look at, wander through. So I sort of paint with the idea of having people have a place to sort of visually wander. So it's a place to really think and meditate and enjoy.
But is each piece self-enclosed in the sense of that experience that you mentioned,
yeah,
of having a few works where you can look and bounce off and play off each other? So for you, it's just one work and there is no influence then on the next?
No, yeah, it's one work at a time, definitely. Because, you have to have it, when you hang a show like that, you have to have the work have enough room that you can see one by themselves. So it's just, so when you do a show like that, like six paintings like this, you want to make sure there's lots of room between the paintings. So that when you view one, you can view one, and not have the other one get in the way. So that's how, when you hang a show like that, that's what you do.
In the geometric style, how did that start for you?
What's funny, because I don't see myself as a geometric painter. It all came about because of my interest in color and trying to make color a subject matter. And so for a long time as a young painter, I had color, and color was always a big part of my work. But I was working to try to figure out how to make color subject. So I slowly got together to make this sort of simple format so that the color can dominate. And I wanted a format that, I always thought as a painter, I could say like someone like Corot, who paints these beautiful landscape paintings, and then in the end he gets to put a little red dot, for the flower, like the last touch. And I always wanted a system that allowed me to put any color down whenever I want it. It wasn't a system that I had to wait and say, well, first I have to do this to get to this to get to this. So living in Europe and living in, I think, Italy and going to and all that great architecture, I really could use architecture to really, you know, have the color dominate. So that's sort of how it happened. They started off being, in the early days, I think in the 80s, 70s, they were more gestural, more like mark-making. But I wanted to get rid of the mark-making because it got to be too much like abstract expressionism or graffiti, and I didn't really want that. I wanted to be more slower, quieter, more like Morandi, maybe. So I came with a system of, like, just I thought I'd just stack the color one on top of the other, a very simple format where people can see how they're done, but have the color be magical so people would say, well... So the paintings, in a sense, are you, if you explain someone, if you explain my paintings to somebody, they seem like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. But yet if you see them, then you don't.
Does one color dominate, in your opinion, or are they created equal?
No, the idea is all the colors are created equal. They have to be all equal. They're very democratic. Because you want to be able to have good transitions from one area to have good, easy transitions. So if you fall in love, say, with a yellow in the painting, you could get out of that yellow maybe to the blue or to the green or to an orange. So they kind of change all the time. They're always changing. I think that for a lot of people, that's probably, it's really polyrhythm. So they're always changing. So if you look at them 1 minute and turn away and come back another, you see them differently. So they're always kind of like reinventing themselves because it's good transitions. So I work to make sure that all the colors are sort of equal.
You spoke of the yellow. How long does it take you to get the yellow that you want? I mean, how do you then know? Because then that depends on what the red is next to it and the green is exactly to the left of it.
Right, exactly. So it always depends on that. I'm always looking and trying to. It's like almost trying to, you know, measure with my eye, you know, where things sit. Is a yellow too dominant? Is it too transparent? Is it opaque? Because color is all tactile, so it depends on how thin or how thick, or how you put it on. If I show a brush mark, if I don't show a brush mark, it's a different yellow. So that's why I only work on one painting at a time because they're so complicated. So yeah, it all depends on sort of what's happening beside it, what's happening above it. So I'm always trying to judge, and that's where the painting comes in. My working habits come in. But I painted a long time, so I kind of now know how to measure that, you know. So that's a big thing. That's kind of the joy of it for me is really trying to get all these colors to work together, you know.
You said a moment ago that you don't consider yourself a geometric painter. Is that because there is not an exactness to the squares and to how they into their size? There's a range of size.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like I say, it's you know, you always come up with some kind of way of painting and. So I think of myself more as a colorist. I don't think of them as terms of, like, you know, because I'm not sort of a modernist in the sense that I don't like one kind of painting, you know. I mean, I like all kinds of painting, whether it's figurative, abstract, or whatever. So, yeah, because I sort of want them, yeah, definitely I want the things to be they're handmade. I mean, so if they're handmade, like, you know, like, I want them to be handmade, something sort of, you know, I like that about, like, the ancient things are handmade. Like, even if you go, say, to Rome and look at the Colosseum, you know, how huge it is.
Right.
What really struck me about that was that it has still a human scale to it. You know, you really felt like the way it was put together had a real human scale to it, which was, it was on a grand scale, but yet it had a real sort of, like, you, the one person in that, you felt a real human scale. And I always struck that when I traveled through Egypt and lived in Italy, that. And so I want that to have that kind of like hand, like it's handmade, you know. So the kind of things, it's nothing exact, things are off, there's nothing really, the squares aren't measured. It's like whatever they need to be. So that's a big thing. So I kind of want them to be really kind of like, So that's why I don't think of myself as sort of a geometric abstractionist, but that's fine if people said that about my work. But for me, it's more about sort of like this kind of hands-on, handmade. I mean, I have some, like, ancient, like, Native American Indian pots, and I love them because you can see one person, you know, took a brush, you know, and made this line. And you can kind of feel that, you know, like this person from who knows when, you know, painted this or made this or they made this bowl. You can sense it's made by a person.
Mm.
So I kind of want to keep that in my work, that kind of like this was made by this person, that this, you know, human being. So that's very important for me.
In that work, in the playfulness of creating it, is there a time when you know if you're going to repeat a color or not?
You know, I want to sort of paint a painting that has every color in the world in it, so I hate repeating colors, but I do. I have to, you know, I try to have every different color, but I realize but there's a balance out, so I can't really do that.
Right.
So, yeah, so I do repeat colors, and I should repeat colors more, but I always want to have more color. So, you know,
I find that fascinating. I mean, do you set rules for yourself? And in this, I'm going to try not to repeat color.
No. You know, there are no rules. You know, only rules I have are the format. With color, I really can't have any rules. So I don't. It's like what I want to do, but not what I can do. Like when I do a painting, I never know what color it's going to be. I mean, I never know what it's going to come out to be. It's very hard for me to give that kind of. You know, a color, you know, color is a strange thing where you really can't control color. You sort of let color be. So I, you know, even though I say maybe I want to paint a blue painting or a red painting, I really can't do that. It's really almost like call and response. Like a color calls another color. Like I put a color down, and I put another color down. And when I start off, I put any color down, and it calls another color. Once I go through it once and have the whole painting covered, then I have something to really think about and play with and decide, is this right or does that feel right? It's all about how things feel. This, you know, it's
that touch.
It's that kind of feeling.
There's a touch involved.
Touch is very important. Touch, because I want, that's why I think with me, I'm more of a, sort of a, I think about European paint. I go to see Velasquez, and I think about Velasquez in terms of touch, you know, how he touched the canvas. So touch is really important. With color, like I said, color is so tactile, so if I put it on the stain, I put it on the stick, different color. I mean, it's the same red, right, out of the two, but it's different if it's thicker, different if it's thinner. It feels totally different, so you get totally different things. So if I repeat a color, usually it's the same color, but it'll feel different because it's thicker or thinner or more transparent. Or it's over a blue or under a yellow. You know what I mean? So color's different that way.
Stanley Whitney, Six Paintings, is on display through June 3rd at the Charles Bennison Visitor Center and Gallery at the Field Sculpture Park at OMI International Arts Center in Ghent, New York. You can find out more information by going to artomi.org, artomi.org. Stanley Whitney, a great pleasure to speak with you about your work. I thank you very much. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
A great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.